CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and we welcome Melanie Cutting back for another segment of At the Movies with Mel after the holidays. So welcome, Melanie.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be back.
It is. Nice to be back to normal. So did you get a chance to see a movie on the holidays?
I got a chance to see four movies.
My goodness, four of them.
Four. And there would have been more.
Okay.
Weather got in the way and a few other things, but I knew it was going to be a busy time, because being the holiday, our local Maison de Cinema has had lots and lots of English language movies, which has been terrific. Yeah. So I'll give you a quick overview. Is that I saw Aquaman. I saw Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
I saw The Mule.
Okay.
With Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
And a British film called The Favourite.
Okay.
Which, for some reason, I have trouble finding on Rotten Tomatoes. You have to kind of look at. In any event, it's there, but you have to go at it from an angle. Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Which I gather you saw as
we
well.
We did, yeah. We thought it was really good. It was really fast-paced and interesting. I thought the actors were good.
Okay.
You didn't like it, I assume.
I found it too long.
Too long?
It's well over 2 hours.
It is. It is a long movie.
Yeah. It's 2 hours is 120 minutes, and this was like 130-something or 100. Anyway, it's long. I'll tell you the parts that I did like. I did like the initial underwater scenes where they're just beautiful. The whole underwater thing is quite spectacular.
I noticed that.
And I enjoyed Jason Momoa, I think is how he pronounces his last name, as Arthur, the Aquaman. I just thought he was good at it, and they gave him some funny lines, which is nice sometimes these movies are just so deadly serious that I miss that. So he actually had some quite good lines. His co-star Amber Heard, who plays I forgot her name, but kind of another Atlantean. He's part human and part Atlantean, and his dad is human and still lives in the. He's a lighthouse keeper, so that's where he is, and he actually appears periodically throughout the movie. His mom, who is played very surprisingly to me by Nicole Kidman, is an Atlantean. And she has legs. She's not a mermaid, but she lives in the ocean, and of course can breathe underwater. And so she makes she appears in the movie, and I was dumbfounded. I said, "What on earth is someone of Nicole Kidman's caliber doing in this movie?" Anyway, so maybe she needed the money. Who knows? But she was fine. You know, she got to wear some very cool costumes and hang out in the water and hang out on the land. Anyway, so that was fine. By and large, I just found the movie was overblown, too much of a what could have been a good thing. And except for those moments when Aquaman himself, Jason Momoa, was the focus was on him, I found it just over the top. I mean, you have to go to these movies kind of expecting this is the kind of movie it is, and I gather it's done very good things for DC Comics. Just a quick Marvel universe and DC Comics universe are going head to head in terms of who can do the best at the movies. They're both obviously comic book organizations, but long ago they became far more into entertainment, mostly on the big screen. sometimes on the small screen as well. So this was Aquaman was designed to be like a body blow to the Marvel gang.
Okay.
And I think it has been. I think it has in fact been quite well received. I've got Rotten Tomatoes in front of me, and it's Aquaman is doing very well financially.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
Neither am I. like $52 gazillion so far, or something along those lines. Critics are okay with it. Audiences really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I can see why it wouldn't be a critically favored movie. It's just there's just too much going on. A good cast, beautiful scenery, of course, especially when they're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big comic book movie, and certainly not to everybody's taste. The other big budget movie that I saw is Mary Poppins Returns. And this one is doing very well with critics. It's got the critics like it to the tune of 78% like it.
Okay.
Audiences a little less. Only 69% said, "Oh yeah, we really like this movie."
Okay.
If you've seen the first one, and I wish I could remember how many years that goes back, but it goes back a long
it does.
Ways,
a lot. Yeah.
quite a long mm-hmm. ways. This is so similar. And it's truly not just a Disney movie. It's a Walt Disney movie. It's got all the fingerprints of the actual Walt Disney on
okay.
the movie. It's definitely of course it has Mary Poppins, who is now played by Emily Blunt, and she does a fine job. She sings, she dances, she has the Mary Poppins persona down really well.
Mm-hmm.
Her friend in this, Mary Poppins' friend in the first movie, when she was played by Julie Andrews, was Dick Van Dyke. And he played a chimney sweep, and he had a whole bunch of chimney mm-hmm. sweep friends. And this is similar in that Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's actually excellent, he plays not a chimney sweep, but a lamplighter.
Okay.
And he has a whole flock of lamplighter friends. So they have, you know, they have big production scenes, and of course there's trouble in the Banks household. The older Mr. and Mrs. Banks from the first movie, of course, are long gone. Their children, a boy and a girl. The boy is now a widower with three kids, and the three kids play a big part in the movie. And his sister, I think her name is Jane. I think it's Michael and Jane Banks.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to lose their house because it's hard times. Actually, it's during the 30s, during the Depression, and times are tough. They've had to take out a loan to keep their house. Thank God Mary Poppins shows up
okay.
when she does, because she really does kind of save the day, as she is very good at doing. And she it was actually very entertaining to watch. And there's one terrific sequence with Meryl Streep playing Mary Poppins' cousin,
mm-hmm.
Topsy. I think her name is Topsy. And I could watch that one sequence again, just
okay.
because it was so much fun to watch. There's Meryl Streep. And Meryl Streep doesn't really like Mary Poppins,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a nice change, because everybody else sort of idolizes Mary Poppins. So that was good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of song and dance numbers. It's a movie that I think children will enjoy.
Probably.
And a few adults, such as myself. I was really quite looking forward to this because I did like the first Mary Poppins so much. And it is what it is. I think it's worth seeing. And if you're going to see it, then certainly going to the movies and seeing it on a big screen is probably better than watching it on Netflix on a much smaller screen, because it's kind of larger than life,
mm-hmm.
of course. So yeah, I would recommend that, certainly for families, mm-hmm. or for people who with great nostalgia, remember the first Mary Poppins. But it is a lot like the first Mary Poppins. So don't expect anything radically different mm-hmm. from that first go-around.
Okay.
But fun. Let's see what else I saw. Oh, another movie which I saw and surprised myself by liking is called The Mule. And that's a movie, written, directed, starring, music by, all that. It's a Clint Eastwood film from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays someone who is essentially his age. And Clint is into his 80s now.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And he's made several movies now about being an old guy,
mm-hmm.
Which are typically quite entertaining. And mm-hmm. I would, in fact, recommend this one to adults. It's not a children's movie.
No.
It's certainly a movie for adults, and I guess older adults
mm-hmm.
even better, simply because the story focuses on the Clint, who plays he's actually a flower grower. He grows daylilies.
Okay.
Which is a little hard to picture.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really a kind of a bad husband and a bad father. He loves his work,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a complete ne'er-do-well, but he's just not very good at those family roles that he should be good at.
Okay.
And he eventually his daylily plant farm is in foreclosure and
mm-hmm.
is gone. So he kind of falls into a job as a drug mule.
Okay.
Because he drives all the time. He has an old pickup and he loves to drive, and that's one of the reasons that he wasn't home very much, is because he was often on the road,
mm-hmm.
either selling his daylilies or having one reason or another to visit other daylily plantations.
Mm-hmm.
So here he has a perfect driving record, so he's not likely to be stopped.
Okay.
So he needs the money. Frankly, he really mm-hmm. does need the money, and he kind of goes along with this. He's not entirely sure what it is that he's transporting, but he knows it's, you know, certainly under the radar, and it turns out that he's very good at it.
Okay.
He gets stopped once in a while, but he kind of, you know, very casually, you know, mm-hmm. gets himself out of that. So without going into great detail about how the story goes, just to say that it is quite a touching movie. Again, some actually moments of great good humor. There is violence. It's probably not the worst that we've seen recently, and he is dealing with the cartel.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. there are certainly going to be, you know, people who are fall afoul mm-hmm. Of the bad guys. Anyway, if you like Clint Eastwood,
mm-hmm.
and if you like sort of quiet but engrossing movies that are a little slow,
mm-hmm.
my favorite reviewer didn't like it because he just said it was too slow, then I would say, yeah, go see this. It has it's really quite a heartwarming film.
Good.
Finally.
Good to know.
Yeah, so The Mule is mm-hmm. is good. Mary Poppins Returns, for those who are Mary Poppins fans. Aquaman, if you're a
mm-hmm.
if you're a big budget Marvel or DC Comics movie fan. And the fourth movie that we saw, which was arguably the best of the bunch, is called The Favorite. And this is a film by the director of the movie The Lobster.
Okay.
Which spawned the ratings that we give movies on the Lobster scale. And The Lobster was just a kind of an off-the-wall movie, but like riveting. And this one is not quite so fanciful, but still very interesting. It concerns Queen Anne, who was on the throne in England in the early part of the 18th century,
mm-hmm.
so the early 1700s. There's much tension with France and ramping up to have the money to fight the war against France and so on. And Queen Anne is played by a wonderful British actress named Olivia Colman, who you may or may not have heard of, but she was terrific. And she's just very ineffective. I don't think she was meant to be queen. I think she was simply married to the king who died. Mm-hmm. And she leaves the running of matters of state to her, in some cases to her parliamentarians, but mostly to someone who was a good friend from years and years ago, who's a member of the nobility. And her name's actually Sarah Churchill, and she is from the way back. She's okay. Part of the the famous Churchill family mm-hmm. in England. So Sarah Churchill is her favorite lady in waiting, and actually does a lot of the things that the Queen herself should be doing, but is incapable because she's not very bright and has a number of physical problems. So she's more than happy to have Lady Sarah, do stuff for her and make decisions. And then along comes another young woman, roughly Lady Sarah's contemporary. In fact, she turns out to be a cousin of Lady Sarah, who has also a member of the nobility, but her family has fallen on hard times.
Okay.
And her name is Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
And she pitches up at the palace, hoping to connect with her cousin and see about getting work mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. And she does that. She connects up with the cousin. She gets some work. But rather than being a relationship which helps her to mm-hmm. get back on her feet financially and mm-hmm. maybe even regain the social status that she lost a few years ago, I think because her father was not such a good guy, they end up at each other's throats. So this is where the favorite part comes in.
Okay.
So you have Queen Anne and Lady Sarah and Abigail. And Abigail is played by the really excellent Emma Stone. Emma Stone is just adorable. And in this movie, she plays someone who starts out kind of adorable and then evolves as the movie goes on. And she's in, as I said, she's in this tied to this huge rivalry with Lady Sarah, also played by an excellent British actress named Rachel Weisz.
Mm-hmm.
So their scenes together are terrific. And their scenes with Queen Anne are also terrific. There's a sub current in the movie because Queen Anne and Lady Sarah have kind of a relationship that goes beyond just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Abigail becomes aware of this fairly quickly and decides, I can play that game too. So so next thing you know, both Sarah and Abigail are not only being sort of ladies in waiting, they become Queen Anne's lovers.
Okay.
There is some, a lot of this actually is historically accurate. Mm-hmm. There definitely okay. were these two women. There was certainly Queen Anne, and her characteristics were, I believe, exactly like they are pictured in the movie.
Mm.
But there is this sort of subtext about lesbian love affairs, which I'm not sure they are able to actually defend that, but mm-hmm. but it makes for a pretty interesting movie. Not a movie for children,
no,
by any stretch of the imagination, even if they're history buffs. But for adults who kind of like movies that are kind of offbeat, this mm-hmm. one is nowhere near as offbeat as The Lobster by mm-hmm. the same director, but still kind of offbeat. And the costumes are amazing. The all three women, plus the men in the movie, get to wear just phenomenal costumes, just spectacular costumes each time. And there are many, many costume changes. So that, I personally quite enjoyed that part. I said, wow, look what she's wearing now. So definitely there was much to look at. It's a beautiful film. It's, of course, filmed in England at one of the stately homes, which is sort of doubling as one of the palaces.
Okay.
And good dialogue, just very entertaining film. Totally entertaining for grown-ups.
Sounds good.
I'm not so sure who else would like them, but certainly the people that I went to the movies with all really enjoyed it. Good. And they said, wow. And the further away from the film you get, because this was one that we saw early on in the holiday, mm-hmm. the more you sort of think about, wow, that really was quite an amazing film. Mm-hmm. So of the four movies that I've seen, that would be my top recommendation.
Your favorite.
That's my favorite. Yeah, it's called The Favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think it will do well as awards season, which is now upon us.
That's true.
Comes up. Yeah, because all three women were terrific. Mm-hmm. And as I said, there were a few men in the film who had some things to do. Nicholas Holt played one of the courtiers, and he's excellent. Mm-hmm. So definitely go see that, even if you can't see too many other films. What I didn't see, but I will mention as still there, Bumblebee, which is in there's a French and an English version, mm-hmm. and it's a Transformers movie, mm-hmm. and I've not been a big Transformers fan. I mean, Transformers were popular when my kids were small, so I did have to pay a certain amount of attention to the toys and to the movies. And this one is, Bumblebee is the name of a big yellow Transformer, and it's getting very good reviews. People are saying it really is quite a good film. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, even if you are not a big fan of Transformers movies, which I'm not, it's worth seeing. So this is one that I would recommend, certainly for people who like Transformers.
Good.
And also for people who just kind of like well-done movies, mm-hmm. especially ones that you expect, oh, how well-done could this be? Because it's a Transformer movie, but it, in fact, it's very good. There's another one there which we almost saw yesterday and then didn't, called Holmes and Watson. It's there in French and English. It will be there in this coming week. It's not on its way out, but it has done so poorly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're down in the single digits in terms of percentage of critical approval.
Okay,
it's like 9%.
Oh my goodness.
So it's kind of like, well, maybe this is just for people who are huge Will Ferrell fans. Mm-hmm. I like Will Ferrell, but I kind of liked him better when he was on Saturday Night Live than since he's been doing movies. But for Elf, he was wonderful in Elf. So I didn't see that. I probably won't see that Friday. And The Mule is still there in both languages, and that's certainly one that I would, again, I would say if you don't mind kind of quiet movies, and if you're a Clint Eastwood fan, then it's the one to go and see. Two movies which I haven't seen, and I do hope to, while they're still there, and apparently they will be there for another week. One is called Vice, and it concerns, I guess, the rise of Dick Cheney, who is the vice president under the second Bush president. President Bush, mm-hmm. not his dad, but his mm-hmm. he hired Dick Cheney to be his vice president. And he was always a very controversial character. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Again, superb cast. Christian Bale, British actor, mm-hmm. plays Dick Cheney and has, you know, put on, it looks like about 100 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
To play the role. He's one of those actors who does that mm-hmm. periodically. He either takes off a whole lot of weight or he puts on a whole lot of weight and looks totally different. So this is one where he's gained a ton of weight. So I hope to be able to talk about that mm-hmm. next week. And the other one, which I may or may not get to see, is a Steve Carell film called Welcome to Marwen. Still there in both languages. Mm-hmm. I didn't go, I just kind of ran out of time, for starters. Mm-hmm. And it was one that I usually go with my husband, and he said, no. So, but he made a concession to me, and we went to see Mary Poppins together. But to go see this Welcome to Marwen just wasn't to his taste. So okay. I may go on my own mm-hmm. to see that. So those are there now. There's a number of good movies coming to town on Friday, mm-hmm. the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
One is called Escape Room, and I must admit I don't know very much about that, except that I think that there's a number of young people who are, it's a thriller. They have to escape from from a room, a home, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But again, getting good reviews. And the one that I am looking forward to seeing, and I thought it would have opened up about a month ago, is called Mary, Queen of Scots.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks terrific in the trailers. And it's got Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan, two very fine young actresses playing. Saoirse Ronan plays, I believe, Queen of Scots,
okay.
and mm-hmm. Margot Robbie plays Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Huge rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big time rivalry, like war rivalry. And I thought, oh, well, this looks like a good historical film. So I will see that one. And then there are some other movies opening up, but not right away. So we won't discuss those now. I've mm-hmm. taken up enough time with my four movies. I would ordinarily not see four movies. I would see one or two, but I had a nice long break, and there were tons of movies to go and see.
That's good. Okay, so that's it, Melanie.
That's
anything else you'd like to add?
It for me. Just a reminder, the Maison de Cinema is a really good place
mm-hmm.
to go. The people are nice. Mm-hmm. The rates are more than fair. You can get one of the packages of eight tickets for $56, so it's $7 a show. That's really excellent.
It is.
And the theaters are comfortable. So, and they seem to go kind of out of their way to bring English movies.
They do. That's
they
a
do.
Great place to go.
Yeah, makes me a little crazy every once in a while when they have movies that are in English
mm-hmm.
and are only presented in French.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Fortunately. So, that's it. That's my plug for going to the movies.
Okay, well, we thank you very much, Melanie.
You're welcome.